Parshas Voes Chanan. In the previous Parsha Devarim, we have learned how Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together all the Yidden on the Chodesh Shvat in order to review with them all the mitzvahs of the Torah before he passes away. He began with words of Musar to remind the Yidden of certain sins that they have done in the past, only in order that they should do teshuvah and be very careful in the future to carry out the mitzvahs of Hashem perfectly. Moshe reminded them how they have sinned by the Yam Sof, and how later they made the golden calf, and later on they sent the Meraglim, which caused them to stay 40 years in the Midbar. Then Moshe reminded them of different things that happened at the end of the 40 years traveling in the Midbar. And now, in Parshas Voes Chanan, Moshe is reminding them of what happened when they came to the waters of Meriva. That was the place where Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to it, for which Hashem swore that Moshe and Aharon will not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, but instead they will have to pass away in the Midbar. Moshe said to the Yidden, "When I sinned at the waters of Meriva, Hashem swore, therefore you and Aharon shall not bring these Yidden to the land which I promised to their forefathers." Now, even though Hashem swore, I was sure that I will be able to eventually get rid of this gezerah through praying to Hashem. I knew from the past that by praying to Hashem, I can take away the decree. This I have seen by the sin of the golden calf. Even though Hashem had sworn to destroy anyone who serves idols, yet, after you have sinned by making the golden calf, and Hashem made a decree against you, by my prayers I was able to take away the decree. That's why I was sure that the decree that Hashem made that I should not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael will also be removed if I only pray to Hashem. I didn't immediately pray to Hashem when Hashem made the decree, because it was a time of heavenly anger. Rather, I waited for a good moment when my tefillos, my prayers, would be accepted. And when did that happen? It was at the time after we won over the giants Sichon and Og. I was sure that if now Hashem would forgive me for what I have done at the waters of Meriva, Hashem will surely allow me to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why else did Hashem allow me to conquer the land of Sichon and Og, which was actually the beginning of conquering Eretz Yisrael? Yes, as Rashi tells us, the parable of a prince who sinned against his father, and his father, the king, chased him out of the palace, swearing that he would never let him back in. The prince did not take his father's words seriously, and in fact, he tried to return. He carefully and slowly entered the palace garden. When he came to the first gate, he saw that the guards did not try to hold him back. So he entered the gate and continued towards the second. Slowly he passed the second gate and saw that the guards did not stop him. So he was sure now the king would surely receive him. He joyfully went towards the innermost gate of the palace where his father is. But then he heard the king's voice call out, "Enough! Stop! I told you that you may not enter the palace." Same thing was with Moshe. After conquering the lands of Sichon and Og, which was part of the promised land. Moshe thought that once Hashem let him conquer this part of Eretz Yisrael, which was on the eastern side of the Yarden, then Hashem will also let him take over Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem let Moshe know that he can't go any further than the boundary of the Yarden. And Moshe told the Yidden, V'eschanan, which means, I didn't demand that Hashem should repay me for my good deeds and therefore let me into Eretz Yisrael. Rather, I asked Hashem, I begged him that he should do it to me as a favor because of his great mercy. That's what the word V'eschanan means, from the word matnas chinam, a gift for free. Yes, that's how tzaddikim are. Even though they can demand from Hashem certain things because they deserve it because of their good deeds, yet they only ask of Hashem for a gift that's for free. Moshe continued, I daven to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam. In your grace you promise to answer even the prayers of those who are undeserving. If a human king wants to take off a decree, the people in his palace may protest. But you, Hashem, are all-powerful to accept a sinner's teshuvah and take away his punishment. No other authority can stop you. Why then, Hashem, don't you take away my punishment with your midah of chesed, kindliness? If you don't let me into Eretz Yisrael, my mission will remain incomplete. Since you have begun to let me conquer Sichna Noig, please, let me now destroy the 31 kings of Eretz Canaan also. Moreover, you revealed the Torah to me. Will you not allow me to teach the Torah to the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael? Please, Hashem, let me pass over the Yarden so that I can see the good land where the Neshama can reach the highest perfection. I wish to see the Har HaMoriah and daven there. That's the holy place where Yitzchak was brought to the Akedah. He was tied up on the Mizbeach. And that's the future place of the Beis HaMikdash. Let me see the Beis HaMikdash itself, the holy house in which Karbanis will be offered to bring forgiveness for the Yidden sins. Now, even though when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, it took many years until they built up the Beis HaMikdash, but if Moshe would have taken the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash would have been built up by Hashem, like it says in Oz Yashir, Mikdash Adni Koninu Yodecha, that Hashem himself would have made that Beis HaMikdash, which would have lasted forever. And that's what Moshe hoped, that he will be able to enter Eretz Yisrael and then see the Beis HaMikdash from Hashem himself. Hashem answered Moshe, Moshe, I swore that you will not take the Yidden past the Yarden River. Seeing that Hashem was angry with me, I recited the 13 Midas HaRachmim, attributes of mercy, that Hashem had taught me. And even though Hashem was pleased, he still refused me. Hashem said, I cannot listen to you because I swore two things. Either you pass away here in the Midbar, or I destroy the Yidden. Do you wish to live on the expense of the Yidden being wiped out? I answered to Hashem, let 1,000 Moshes pass away rather than one Jew. But then I begged Hashem, I don't ask you to let me enter as their leader, but just as a simple Yid coming along with all the Yidden. Hashem answered, "A king cannot enter like a simple Yid. If I cannot enter Eretz Yisrael alive, at least can my body be brought there after I pass away to be buried there?" "No, your body shall not cross over the Yarden either." "Ribbono shel Olam, shall I be less deserving than Yosef? I was the one who, when we left Mitzrayim, found Yosef's Arayin and made sure that his body should be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Shall the same thing not be done for me?" "But Yosef deserved to be buried in Eretz Yisrael because he announced where he came from. That was, when he was in prison in Mitzrayim, he told the people in his jail, 'I was stolen from the land of the Hebrews.' Even though he knew that by telling them that he was Jewish, they're going to look down at him. But you, Moshe, when you ran away from Pharaoh's sword and came to Midian, and you helped Yisro's daughters at the well, you heard how Yisro's daughters told their father, 'Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian, rescued us at the well,' and you didn't immediately correct them to tell them that you were Jewish. Because you did not announce that you were Jewish, you did not deserve that your body should be brought into Eretz Yisrael." Now, even though Moshe did not announce that he was Jewish because he was afraid of his life, that Yisro might report him back to the court of Pharaoh and have him be put to death, yet, since Moshe was such a great tzaddik, Hashem considered it wrong that he allowed the daughters of Yisro to think, even for a short time, that Moshe was not Jewish. Moshe continued telling the Gittin, "When I realized how severe Hashem's oath is, I put on sack and ashes. I drew a circle around myself and declared, 'I will not budge from here until the decree is taken away.' My tefillahs shook heaven and earth until all the creation thought, 'The great Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, on which Hashem renews the world, must have come.' Hashem said, 'Let all heavenly gates be closed, so that Moshe's prayers will not reach the heavens.' My tefillahs were reaching all the seven heavens like a sword. I pronounced the Shem HaMefarash, which I have learned in heaven, in order that Hashem should accept my prayers. 'Quick,' Hashem called to the angels, 'lock each gate, because Moshe's prayers are reaching to the heights.' I offered 515 types of tefillah's prayers. And as our Chachamim tell us, the word va'eschanan adds up to the number 515. Hashem then appeared to me with his great court of malachim and told me, 'Al Tosef, stop praying. The great court in heaven has decreed that you should not pass over the Yarden. If you continue to pray, you will bring both of us into shame. People are going to say, Moshe must have committed many sins because his prayers went without an answer. And furthermore, people are going to say, God is so cruel for not accepting so many tefillos. Moreover, if I accept your tefillah, that's not going to be good for the Yidden who passed away in the Midbar. People will say, one of the people, Moshe, was good, and therefore he was able to enter Eretz Yisrael, but the rest were no good, and they all died out in the Midbar." Hashem also said to Moshe, "What will be if you enter Eretz Yisrael after your brother Aaron passed away in the Midbar? People will think, Aaron was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael as we are because he sinned with the golden calf, and his sin was not forgiven. Therefore he was punished with death in the Midbar. The truth is that Aaron passed away in the Midbar, just like Moshe, because of the sin at the waters of Meribah. You should know, Moshe, the decree that does not allow you to enter Eretz Yisrael cannot be changed. It was only a little mistake that you made at the waters of Meribah. But, according to your greatness, Moshe, that mistake is considered a great sin. Your time is over, Moshe. It's now time for Yehoshua to take your place. Be happy, Moshe, with the great reward that's reserved for you in Olam Haba, and the world to come. Shall all my prayers then have been for nothing? I asked Hashem. No, you will see more than you would have had you entered Eretz Yisrael, and more than even Yehoshua will ever see. You should now climb up the mountain of Ai, and I will let you see not only the places that you mentioned, but all of Eretz Yisrael, north, south, east, and west. By doing this, you will be giving a bracha upon the land and make it easier for the Yidden to conquer it. But not you. Instead, it's going to be Yehoshua who's going to take over the land. Instruct him in his work as a leader. Strengthen him in Torah study and fortify him with the mitzvahs. Moshe continued, we then remained on the east side of the Yarden, staying over opposite the place where you sinned by worshipping the Pa'ir. With these words, Moshe hinted that he would be buried near the spot where the Yidden had sinned with Pa'ir, in order to get forgiveness from Hashem for that sin. Now, why did Moshe want to go so much into Eretz Yisrael? It was because there are certain mitzvahs that Moshe would not be able to do in the Midbar, such as Truma, Meiser, Bikurim, and Shemitah. There are many mitzvahs that can be only done in Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to fulfill those mitzvahs too. He also wanted to teach the other Yidden to fulfill these mitzvahs. And Hashem told him, even though you will not enter the land, but I will consider it as if you have actually fulfilled these mitzvahs. Moreover, I'll reward you for all the mitzvahs that the Yidden will observe in Eretz Yisrael, since you instructed them. Our Chachamim tell us, Hashem caused Moshe to be buried together with the generation of the Midbar, in order that his schus, his merit, would protect them, and make sure that they get up for Tchiyas HaMesim. Moshe continued speaking to the Yidden. Listen to my words and do teshuvah for any past sins. Hashem will then surely let you take over the land. Fulfill the Torah laws exactly as you are taught, without adding anything or subtracting. You know by yourself what happens when people go away from the Torah law. When the people worshipped the idol Baal Pa'ir, 24,000 Yidden passed away in a plague, while those who stayed away from the idol and stayed close to Hashem are alive today. Moshe announced that whoever attaches himself to lifeless idols will die with them, whereas the one who stays close to Hashem, the source of life, remains alive. Hashem promises, attach yourself to me in the present world, in Olam Hazeh, and I will attach you to me in Olam Haba, in the world to come. Moshe said to the Yidden, the laws I am teaching you are not my own, they are from Hashem. Study and fulfill them, because then you will be considered wise and understanding in the eyes of the nations. When the nations hear your laws, they will recognize and they will say, even though we cannot understand their laws, for example, why they can't wear shatnez, a garment that has wool and linen mixed together, or why they have the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, the sprinkling of the purifying waters upon someone who became unclean. Nevertheless, we understand that they are a wise and understanding nation. We can observe that God answers their prayers when they call to Him with the 13 Midos HaRachmim, attributes of mercy, wrapped in their prayer shawls, Talesim. God causes rain to fall and plagues or destruction to stop. Moshe said to the Yidden, "For what nation is there so great that God is near to it, as is our God, whenever we call upon Him?" Yes, as we know, if someone asks a person again and again for a favor, he loses his patience. But the Torah assures us that Hashem acts just the opposite. The more we daven to Him, the more He listens to our tefillos. Yes, Hashem promises to accept our tefillos all times, especially when we daven with a minyan, that is, with at least 10 people who are already bar mitzvah. As our Chachamim tell us, that a community that does teshuva, and together they call to Hashem from the depth of her heart, they are answered. Moshe warned the Yidden, "You will be considered a wise nation only if you observe the mitzvahs correctly, according to the halacha. That's why you have to constantly study Torah. You must learn the halachas properly. If you forget how to fulfill them properly because you're not studying Torah, you will be considered foolish. Apply yourselves to study Torah, the source of the Jewish people's greatness." And here Moshe warned them not to forget about Matan Torah. "Beware of ever forgetting the great event of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. By forgetting or denying it, you will eventually deny Hashem's existence and cause yourself to be destroyed both with your body and your neshama. Hashem Himself spoke directly to your entire people by Har Sinai. Hashem then put the fear of Him into your heart. It is the responsibility of every father to tell his child about Matan Torah and what it did for the Jewish people. And remember that by Har Sinai you heard only Hashem's voice resounding from the fire at Har Sinai. You didn't see any form. Be careful not to carve out any statue, male or female, resembling any figure or creature to commemorate the giving of the Torah. Creating statues will eventually lead you to worship idols. Do not imitate the Goyish nations who bow down to the sun, moon, or the stars. They might think that they're allowed to do so because they are in fact protected by guardian angels, Sarim. But you are guarded by Hashem personally. You are His portion. He brought you out of Mitzrayim, where He refined you as if in an iron furnace, in order that you should be His inheritance." While warning the Yidden against worshipping idols, Moshe again mentioned, "Hashem was angry at me and did not let me cross the Yarden. I must pass away in this land, while you will pass over and inherit the good land." Why did Moshe mention this? Well, Moshe was warning them, "Since I will no longer be with you when you come into Eretz Yisrael, I'm warning you from now that you should not learn from the Goyish customs of those who live in Canaan." Moshe was also hinting to them that just like Moshe would always pray to Hashem for the Yidden, he expected that the Yidden should pray to Hashem for him, that Hashem should let Moshe come into Eretz Yisrael. But all of Moshe's hints went unnoticed. The Yidden were not sensitive to them because Hashem decreed that Moshe would not enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe finished his warnings against worshipping idols by saying to the Yidden, "Do not make any image that's forbidden by Hashem. Even though you're beloved by Hashem, but Hashem will punish anyone who worships idols." Moshe continued to warn the Yidden, "I see that in the future, after having lived in Eretz Yisrael for generations, you're going to go away from the ways of Torah. You're going to worship idols and do bad things in Hashem's eyes. I call upon two everlasting witnesses, heaven and earth, to testify that I warned you that you shall be quickly chased out from the land. You will not be for many days upon the land." Yes, here is who Moshe is telling the Yidden that there is going to be a galus from Eretz Yisrael when the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, will take place. And Moshe told them that this is going to happen 852 years after the Yidden left Mitzrayim. But Hashem, with His great mercy, made it happen 2 years earlier. Why? Because when Moshe told them about this, Moshe said that the Yidden will be sinning so greatly that they will deserve to be destroyed completely. That's why Hashem made their galus begin 2 years earlier, so Moshe's nevuah should not be fulfilled completely. Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash instead of the Yidden, who by suffering from galus were allowed to stay alive. Moshe also said, "Hashem will scatter you among the nations. Wherever He leads you, you will remain few in number. You will be under the authority of men who serve images, idols made out of wood and stone, gods which do not see the troubles of their worshippers. They do not hear their outcries. They do not consume their korbanos or smell their pleasant smell. You will then personally experience the big difference between the worship of dead idols and the service of the living God whom you forsook." But Moshe assured the Yidden, "If you will seek Hashem your God, even in galus, you shall find Him, if only you search Him with all your heart and soul, and not just with your lips." Moshe told the Yidden, "When you will be in trouble and all these things will come upon you at the end of days, if you return to Hashem your God and listen to His voice, for Hashem your God is a merciful God, He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the promise of your forefathers which He swore to them." With this, Moshe was telling them about the Geula, which is going to be the final redemption, which comes because of five things, the same five that also brought the Yidden out of Galus Mitzrayim. Number one, the suffering of the Yidden in Galus. Number two, their teshuvah. Number three, the bris, the promise that Hashem made with their forefathers. Number four, Hashem's mercy. And number five, the arrival of the time of Geula. Moshe continued to explain, "And should you ask, why does Hashem treat us more strictly than the other nations that worship idols? The answer is, you are different because of two important things that no other nation experienced. The first is Matan Torah. Ask all the peoples on earth since creation whether anything similar was ever heard of. Did an entire nation ever become prophets and hear Hashem's voice reach them from amidst the fire, as you did at Har Sinai? Did it ever happen that an entire nation expired? The neshamas left their body when they heard Hashem's voice and were then miraculously brought back to life? The second thing is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Did Hashem ever perform signs as wondrous as those which He performed through me in Mitzrayim? Or miracles such as the Ten Makos and the Egyptians drowning in the Red Sea? You all witnessed the great wonders with your own eyes. You left Mitzrayim unafraid in broad daylight, and you were then led in the desert by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Taking you out of Mitzrayim was not an easy thing for Hashem, because the Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, demanded that you should disappear among the Egyptians. Because many of you accepted the ways and the habits of the Egyptians. Many of you did not have a bris milah. If not for what Hashem swore to our avos, He would not have brought you out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, Moshe reassures the Yidden, do not despair in your later exiles, in your galus. Hashem will repeat the great miracle of redeeming you from amongst the Goyim. Why did Hashem choose you like this from all the nations? It was in order to show you that Hashem is the ruler, there is none besides Him. Therefore, He performed for you the miracles at Matan Torah and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And as you see today, He has given into your hand the kingdoms of the mighty giants Sichon and Og. So you know today, and you should take to heart, that Hashem is the only true power in heaven above and upon the earth below. There is nothing else. Moshe finally concluded by saying, if you realize clearly that Hashem is the true king, you will surely be careful to keep His laws. He will reward you with long life in your land, both in the present and in the times of Moshiach. Now that Moshe finished his words of Musar to the Yidden, Moshe is going to begin the review of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, beginning with Matan Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. But before the Torah tells us how Moshe reviewed the Torah with the Yidden, the Torah tells us that Moshe made three Arei Miklat, three cities of refuge, on the eastern side of the Yarden. As we have already once learned, that if, let's say, Reuven killed Shimon by mistake, then, in order to protect himself, Reuven must run away and hide in the Arei Miklat, one of the six cities that were specially designed to protect someone who killed someone by mistake. Of these six cities, three of them were in Eretz Yisrael, and another three were on the eastern side of the Yarden, where Moshe and all the Yidden are right now. Now, as we have learned in Chumash Bamidbar, that Shevet Reuven, Shevet Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe were given the lands of Sichon and Og on the eastern side of the Yarden, where they were able to settle. That was their share in Eretz Yisrael. Now, since Moshe heard from Hashem that he was about to pass away, he thought, let me first make three cities, Arei Miklat, on this side of the Yarden, one by Reuven, one by Gad, and one by Menashe. At first, Moshe chose the first Ir Miklat, the town of Betzer, in Reuven's portion. Reuven was so honored, even though God was the first one to ask for the land on the eastern side of the Yarden. Why did Reuven get it first? Because of the special schus that when Yaakov's sons had decided to kill Yosef, who stuck up for Yosef? Reuven, he said to them, do not spill innocent blood. Better throw him into one of the pits instead. As a reward for this, Hashem gave Reuven Shevet the first Ir Miklat, the first city of refuge, which itself would save the lives of someone who killed someone by mistake. Afterwards, Moshe made another Ir Miklat in the town of Ramos, which is in the area of Gad. And then the third one, in a place called Gailan, in Menashe's portion, all on the eastern side of the Yarden. Now actually, these three cities, the Are Miklat, could not yet save a Yid, only until Yehoshua took over the land with the Yidden and made the other three Are Miklat in Eretz Yisrael. Only when all six cities were complete and they were ready to be Are Miklat, then were they able to serve as cities of refuge to save a Yid who killed someone by mistake. And now the Torah is going to tell us how Moshe reviewed the mitzvahs of the Torah. When Moshe saw that the people took his words of Musar to heart, and they were paying attention to his warnings against worshipping idols, he considered them ready for a review of the Torah. He began with the Ten Commandments, which was really the foundation of all the mitzvahs. Most of this generation were born after the giving of the Torah, and therefore they did not hear the commandments directly from Hashem, even though their father surely told them about the story of Matan Torah. Therefore, Moshe wanted that at least they should hear the Ten Commandments from himself, Hashem's messenger. Moshe called upon all those present to pay attention. Listen, Yisrael, Hashem's covenant, bris, at Har Sinai, not only was for our fathers, but it's also for all of us who are here today. You know that I give over Hashem's word to you, for Hashem himself spoke to our nation at Sinai. Some of you actually witnessed it, while the others heard it from their fathers. Originally, Hashem really wanted to teach you all the Ten Commandments himself. But after the first two, you were afraid to hear his awesome voice. Therefore, from there on, I had to act as Hashem's interpreter. And these are the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God, asher hotzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim, who took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slaves. Yes, this is the first mitzvah of the Aseres Adibros, to believe in the Creator's existence and power. It is a mitzvah to firmly believe and to know that Hashem is the cause of everything that is here. In other words, that Hashem exists and makes everything else exist. And without Hashem, chas v'shalom, nothing at all can be. And that Hashem is the master and ruler who controls every part of the creation with individual care and attention. Yes, Hashem gives attention to every single thing in this world and in all the worlds, whether it be the greatest angels in heaven, or may it be the smallest creature on earth, a little tiny worm that's crawling from the bottom of the sea. Everything is controlled by Hashem. Hashem gives every single creature separate attention. Hashem knows about it, and only because of that do these creatures exist. This is what's called Hashgacha pratis, individual providence from Hashem, that Hashem takes care and controls everything in this world, from the biggest, the largest thing, till the tiniest little speck. Our Chachamim tell us that when Hashem said, Anoichi, Hashem Alekecha, Hashem opened seven heavens for the Yidden. And just as he parted the higher worlds, so did he part the lower worlds. And all the Yidden saw that Hashem is the one and only. After saying that I am your God, Hashem added, who took you out of Egypt. Yes, it was that special event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, with all the miracles that showed the Yidden Hashem's great power and how Hashem takes such particular care of the Yidden. This also means Hashem is telling the Yidden, the reason that I freed you from Mitzrayim is in order that you should accept my Torah upon yourselves. The Goyish nations, on the other hand, do not have to, except for the observance of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs that Hashem gave to all mankind, to all people, including the Goyim. Now since Anoichi Hashem Alekecha is the first mitzvah, why didn't the Torah begin with this mitzvah? Instead, it begins with Bereshis Bara Elikim, telling us that Hashem created the heavens and earth. Well, one of the reasons is because in order that the Yidden should want to keep the mitzvahs, Hashem wants us first to know about His greatness, that Hashem created the world, and that He took us out of Mitzrayim, and that He split the sea for us, and He gave us the well of Miriam, and the man, and He won over Amalek for us. Only after realizing Hashem's greatness and kindness does the Torah demand from us that we accept Hashem as our God. The second commandment, Lo yihye lecha elikim acherim al panai. There shall not be unto you the gods of others before me. What does this mean? That it's forbidden for you to believe that there is any other power besides Hashem. Even if you believe that Hashem is the most powerful, yet we are not to believe that anyone else or anything else in this world or in the heavens has a power besides Hashem. Hashem is the only one who rules and controls the world. And Hashem said, Al Panai, that means in my presence, wherever I am, which is the entire world. It also means all the while that I exist. Someone might say, only the Yidden who actually came out of Mitzrayim were warned against idols, but not the later generations. Therefore Hashem said, just like I am forever, so are you forever forbidden to serve other gods.